Father, we thank you tonight for the privilege of being back, and we've already talked to you and asked your blessings on this, but Lord, I just want to ask again that you would be in charge and that you would fill me and all of us with your Holy Spirit. Give us teachable spirits, give us ears to hear and eyes to see, and Lord, help us not only to understand ourselves better, but to understand other members of the body of Christ better, and to have a greater understanding of your purpose for us, and to learn to be more patient with each other and more understanding, and to learn to be a little less irritable, and just to work together more smoothly as the body of Christ is supposed to function together. Lord, teach us and help us to keep growing and to keep learning and to never be satisfied with where we are, Lord, but to be more and more like Jesus as time goes on. And just use us tonight now, Lord, and speak to our hearts. And we know if you work in our hearts and you work through our lives and my words tonight, that it will be good. And Lord, I know that if you get left out, it will be bad. So we don't want you left out, Lord. We want you right here in the middle of everything in charge, and we want you to get all the glory in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, let's look first at the gift of teaching. So you can get that one out. If you want to take a few notes, I've left some space there for you. And if not, you might want to listen to the tape later on. Some of these things will get cold as time goes on. Don't feel frustrated now if it takes a while for you to see your gift. And even after we've been through all seven, you may think, I don't quite see it yet. And that's all right. One thing that'll happen as you look at all these gifts, even if you can't identify yours quickly, and we gave some of the reasons the other day why it might not happen fast for you, even if it doesn't, what will happen is we will be able to at least understand each other better. We'll see people doing things, and instead of getting irritated, we'll think, hey, you know, that's because they've got a different gift than I have. And they just think a little differently, and they react a little differently, and it helps us as the body of Christ to appreciate each other and understand each other and just kind of relax a little bit more about when we're different. You know, that's just one of the beautiful things that comes out of this, even when it takes you more time to figure out what your gift is. So let's look at the gift of teaching. The biblical example seems to be Luke. And you'll see some of the reasons why we think that might be true as we go on. Number one, they need to validate information. A person with a gift of teaching wants to check it out. He wants to know, is this really true? Now, by the way, in all these gifts, I usually say he. Obviously, I mean he or she, you know. I mean, a woman could have any of these gifts. God gifts men and women alike with different gifts here. So don't assume that some of them are for men and some of them are for women. That's not the case. But I'm not talking about the ministry gift of teaching here necessarily either. I'm talking about the motivational gift. So if you weren't here in the early stages, that might be confusing to you and you want to listen to the tape. But check it out. The teachers want to check it out. They want to verify the facts. They want to discern, is this really true? Is this really accurate? That's very important to a teacher. And in Luke, when he started writing his book, now remember, when God chose people to write his word, he didn't just do a mechanical dictation. He didn't say, now write down what I say. He made those men from the very beginning. They were born with a plan that he had for their lives, and part of that plan was for them to write part of his word, and so their life was lived, and he gave them gifts, and he gave them natural abilities, and of course, when they were saved, the spiritual gifts, and then he used that to write his word perfectly. He didn't make any mistakes. He didn't stutter, but he used those men and their lives and their backgrounds to write his word. That's why when you read the letters of Paul, you'll see a little different type of writing than you will see when you read Luke's gospel or John's gospel. There's a different flavor and a different tone. It's all God's word, but he used their gift. So we might be able to get glimpses of Luke's gift as we read his writings. And in Luke chapter 1, he said, started off by saying that you might know the certainty of these things. See, that was important to Luke. I want you to know this is true. This is certain. This is accurate. I validated it. Now, you'll also notice that I go over these points, that some of them overlap. That's okay. There's a little different nuance sometimes. Number two, a teacher likes to check out information with other teachers. A teacher finds it important to himself, usually, to know what the credentials are of those who are teaching the word. A teacher wants to know, does this person really, do they know what they're talking about? Do they have the right credentials? Do they have the right background? And they tend to be very keenly alert to false teachers. It's good to have teachers in the body to help us recognize false teaching, because they'll be tuned into it, and they'll recognize a false teacher real quick and help alert the body of Christ to the fact that there's false teaching going on. Since they want to know the credentials of those who are teaching, they believe it's important to share their own credentials. And many times when a teacher gets up to teach, especially if it's to a group that he may not be too familiar with, he'll give his credentials, he'll give his background, because that would be important to him. If he would want somebody to do that for him so he'd know where they're coming from, so he'd know whether or not, you know, he can trust them. And some people may think they're boasting, but that's not necessarily boasting, just to present their credentials and their background. In Luke chapter 1 again, he said, which from the beginning were eyewitnesses. He's giving credentials, you see, and ministers of the word, credentials. It seemed good to me also, having had perfect understanding of all these things from the very first. See, he's giving his credentials for those who will be teachers to know that you can trust this now. Of course, it's God's word. Number three, relies on established resources. Teachers tend to develop over the years some resources that they depend on and they rely on and they trust and they're loyal to. It could be, in some cases, like dictionaries and text and reference works and these kinds of things. But it can also be other authorities that they've recognized are good Bible teachers, good Bible scholars, good students of the Word, and they rely on these people, and they recognize these people, and they appreciate these people. They appreciate other teachers. There may be a clue of that over in Acts. And of course, Luke wrote the book of Acts, too, when he said about the Bereans. Remember the Bereans? He said, these were more noble than those in Thessalonica, in that they received the word with all readiness of mind and searched the scriptures daily to see whether these things are so. He was commending them for getting into the word and checking it out. You know, that's important to a teacher. Number four, they present truth systematically. A teacher likes for the material to be laid out in an orderly sequence. And Luke said at the beginning of his book to write to you in order, and he gave these things in an orderly sequence so that you could follow step one, step two, step three in the events in the life of Christ and in the life of the early church. So they like that orderly, systematic presentation of the truth. Number five, they like to gather a lot of facts. Teachers often get more joy in gathering the facts and doing the study and doing the research than they do in presenting it. They like to present it too. Don't misunderstand me. They enjoy that too. But if you were to tell a person with the gift of teaching, you got a choice. You can either do the study and do the research and put together the study, the lesson, and then slide it under a door for somebody else to teach. Or we can reverse roles and let them do the study and you can present it. Most teachers will say, I'll do the study. They'd rather do the study because they're concerned that it be presented in careful detail with accuracy and so forth. They don't want to put primary emphasis on the delivery of it. They want to put primary emphasis on digging it out and understanding it and studying it. They love to present it too, usually, but that's more important. It's interesting that Luke's gospel is the longest of the gospels. He was interested in detail. He gathered a lot of facts. He includes information that the other gospels don't include, and he emphasizes the completeness of the account of his gospel. And the sixth one requires thoroughness there on your sheet, goes along with that. They enjoy giving details that some other people might overlook. Teachers love to do that. They love to get extra details, little tidbits and little bits of information that somebody else might have missed. And if you read Luke's writings, you'll see that he gives very precise descriptions of events. Conversations, circumstances. He gives a lot of detail. He details more names, more titles, more dates, more places than any other gospel writer. He's interested in the details, and he presents them. The seventh one, teachers tend to be uneasy with subjective truth. They are probably more sensitive than anybody in the church about the dangers of having personal experiences and using that as a substitute for the objective truth of the Word. They see that danger. It's important for the teacher to start here in the Word and then to go from the Word to practical personal experience. And when they hear people talking about experiences and then proof texting it with the scriptures, it makes them real uncomfortable. They don't want to go that way. They want to start here. And that's not bad. That also makes them unlikely to speak up sometimes too quickly. They like to kind of reserve themselves a little bit if there's an issue that comes up. They want to study it. They want to think about it. They want to analyze it a little bit before they say anything. So they tend to hold back, unlike a prophet. Remember the other night we were talking about prophets. They tend to speak up. The teacher holds back usually a little bit and thinks, I need to study this before I say anything. And it's also interesting, by the way, that as far as I know, there are none of Luke's personal comments recorded in the Scripture. You know, you don't read what Luke said. He writes the Scripture, of course, but it's not, you read what Paul said, you read what Peter said, you read what John said, but you don't see anything about what Luke said. So he was maybe holding back. The eighth thing on the list is perseveres with accepted teachers. He tends to stick with a teacher that he's accepted as an authority, even when they begin to lose popularity or they begin to lose favor with people. They'll stick with them. They're very loyal to the mentors, you know, the people that have led them and taught them and they've learned from. They tend to be very loyal. And Luke was intensely loyal to Paul. You remember when Paul wrote Timothy the last letter there, 2 Timothy? He said, only Luke is with me. Everybody else gone. But Luke's still there because Luke was loyal to Paul all the way. Teachers tend to be loyal to their mentors. And then finally, number 9, it says teachers clarify misunderstandings. Teachers learn, of course, from time to time that they've been mistaken, that they've made an error, that they're wrong about something. When they do, they don't just like to accept the fact that they were wrong. They want to go back and retrace their steps through the study and find out, where did I go wrong here? Where did I get off track? They want to get it back in mind and make sure they're thinking right about the Scripture and what God's saying here and putting it together right from the beginning to end. They want to go back. So, and they want other people to do that too. They want an explanation of why they're wrong. You know, even if they see that, well, okay, I can see maybe I'm wrong here, but I need an explanation. I want to see why. They want to study the Word. Very important.